That's me on the podcast, sharing a song with something to say about it. With Thin Lear and Niagara Moon, losing my opinion.
Hey, Thin Lear, how's it going?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, there's just deflated balloons all over the place. We're just coming out of the haze of our 100th episode celebration. Do you feel, are you hungover? That huge party we threw virtually?
It was a great party. Lots of fun. Had Tom Rainey on. But, you know, then we had that extra week to recuperate. So I feel pretty refreshed at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. There are some artists that I'm going to talk about today in passing that where I feel like probably you wouldn't dig them. But we're talking about them in a very specific context and not for 30 minutes.
We certainly are. Very specific context today. Let's get the show intro out of the way, I suppose.
Losing my specific context.
I am new album dropping indie artist Niagara Moon, a.k.a. Thomas Irwin.
I am new EP dropping indie artist Matt Longo, a.k.a. Thin Lear.
This is Losing My Opinion. We come on here with songs to share, opinions as well, arguments, theses.
Rarely theses.
this is a very special episode today. We're kind of breaking our own rules. Usually we have no idea what to expect, and it kind of still is that way. I don't know what songs you're about to share with me today, but we have a common theme that bonds us today. We're not doing two separate segments. This is one big concept segment.
This is our concept album. This is our pros and cons of hitchhiking.
No, none of that. I'm done with that for a while. We're talking about Bob Dylan today, aren't we?
Clickbait.
Clickbait.
Is that called clickbait? Wait, I guess it's called clickbait.
People
right?
don't want to hear us share the stuff we've been sharing for the past six episodes based on our audience metrics. They want to hear about the same three artists, one of those three artists being Mr. Bob Dylan.
Billy Bob Dylan. Thornton Dylan. I don't know what you mean.
We've already talked about this guy a couple different times, but it's time we dedicate a whole episode to him today.
That's right.
But I'm excited. We're both Bob Dylan fans, right?
Yeah, no, it's not like it's difficult to do that. I mean, we could have a whole podcast where we just talk about Bob Dylan. I'd be
fine. And there are dozens of those. Some of them pretty good.
Oh, yeah. We should have one of them on.
Yep, Jokerman. I'll hit them up.
They could school us.
So Bob Dylan, besides wanting some extra clicks here, why did we decide to talk about Bob Dylan today? What's our angle?
So look, he's a very coverable fellow. He's one of the most covered artists of all time. I don't know if that's true. I'm just saying that. But he's known as a, you know, frequently covered artist,
yes.
right? Is that correct
yes,
assumption?
Yes, absolutely. Because he's so, by certain metrics, he's the biggest deal as a songwriter that we've had in Western society in the last 100 years. I mean, that's...
Yes. And in other ways, he's also a blank canvas. Because I think because he has such a specific, unique style, it sort of makes it so somebody else can say, well, I'm going to go 100% in a different direction. And he himself aesthetically invites that kind of fuckery because he keeps releasing all these bootleg albums where you hear 16 different versions of the same song and they're not even close to each other.
Yeah.
Some of them are better than the versions he puts on the record. So, you know, he himself, it doesn't seem like he cherishes the recording process, like I get the finished product.
He hates the recording process. He wants to get in and out of that studio as quick as he can. But yeah, I mean, obviously his focus is as a songwriter. He's got a solid, for me, 75 songs that are like can't fuck with him all time greats. I know some people are going to be far more enthusiastic than I, but you know, his catalog is undeniable.
Yeah, I think probably even more than 75. I think I'll go higher.
Sure, yeah. Many people would, yeah. So, yes, so we're talking today, the idea of a Bob Dylan cover, and I think it was your idea, the hypothetical Bob Dylan covers, like what covers never happened that we wish had happened.
Yeah, we know Manfred Mann covered him. We know Peter, Paul, and Mary covered him, you know, Joan Baez.
Oh, yeah, Joan Baez, sure.
You know Peter, Paul, and Mary covered him?
Which one did they do?
How many roads must a man... And it sounded a lot like Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yeah.
Manfred Mann, that cover, I brought them up because I was listening to Quinn the Mighty Eskimo the other day. Fantastic, fantastic cover. And great example of like, you know, made it their own, did their thing with it. The Byrds consistently crushed it.
Oh, the Byrds did some great Dylan covers, yeah.
And very different. You know, like, listen to those two Mr. Tambourine Mans. Like, where do you hear that? Like, they just took it.
All that vocal harmony. Yeah, let's up top. I don't know if you have a favorite, like, pre-existing real Dylan cover. I wonder if mine might be I Shall Be Released by Nina Simone in particular.
Oh, wow. That's really, really good. That's really high up there. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say a favorite.
I'm kind of putting you on the spot. I know Brian Ferry's Positively 4th Street might be vying for the title for you.
It's up there. You've got a lot of nerve. I don't know. There are a lot of brilliant ones. I mean, this is whack to say, but like, yeah, Mr. Tambourine Man is like an incredible...
Sure.
It's an incredible song.
Incredible reinterpretation.
That to me doesn't sound dated at all and is so wildly different from the original.
That and what's the song called? I Was So Much Older Than... Is that My Back Pages? That one's pretty great,
My Back Pages, yeah. That's also, yeah, it's another Byrd's tune.
Well, how about this? What's your favorite, you know, gun to your head, what's your favorite Dylan song? What do you feel like answering for that at the moment?
Jesus. It's going to sound pretentious, and I guess it is, but Desolation Row, I think, was the first song.
Iconic.
Where I was like, what the fuck is this? And it actually turned me off to him initially, because the first record I heard of his was Highway 61, and I was listening to it in the backseat of the car as a, I don't know, 11-year-old, and felt something strange. Like, I just had not heard something like it before. And then it got to the last song, and I was like, I hate this.
Because it just goes on and on. That's the 11-minute one, right?
Yeah, it's long as shit. And then, like, maybe 2 or 3 years later, I came back to it, and it was just like, oh, this is incredible. So, yeah, I have an attachment to that song because it, like, it frightened me. I think because it was, like, pushing the boundaries of what I thought a pop song could be, not just in length, but in, like, there's no chorus to that thing. It's just, like... You know, it's just an endless verse and it works.
You know, I'm a musics guy. I'm not always necessarily a lyrics guy. I can sometimes struggle with those, you know, the sad-eyed Lady of the Lowlands, the, you know, the sprawling epics, verse after verse after verse. Mm-hmm. So some of them I like more than others. I go in the popular direction. I go in the soulful direction sometimes with him in terms of my favorites. The Man in Me. That might be my top.
Well, hey, man, let's get into it, because that is the very first song that I have here. Very first tune I got. And
wow.
There's something about this song that is very sweet.
Yes.
And very lazy at the same time. I don't mean lazy like he lazily recorded it, but like...
Lackadaisical.
Yeah, like he's singing it like he's a lovable fuck up.
Yeah.
And I think it's not...
Just like the dude in Big Lebowski.
And that's why it's such a perfect marriage, that song in that movie. But yeah, it's such a good mission statement for the top of that film. Good God. But yeah, I mean, like that song is... It's a side of him that's very sweet. I think we don't often see.
I love the sweet side of him. Yeah. I do like the salty and the bitter side too, but I love the tender...
And a little goofy.
Yeah.
Too. A little goofy, this one. Well, let's listen to a snippet of it for anyone who hasn't heard. Now, if you're listening to this podcast, then I don't know, you probably have heard this song in some fashion, but I guess we listen to a little snippet of it, right?
You got The Man in Me, we're about to listen to a bit of, and then we're going to see who you wished had covered it, you know, what you imagined, kind of alternate there. No contest today, no points, I don't think.
No, I'll be keeping score in my head. But we don't have to talk about it.
Just some reveling in Dylan. I did have one more question before we start getting into the song. Have you ever made a Bob Dylan cover?
I mean, there were songs I wrote when I was younger that were essentially Bob Dylan covers that I thought were my own. But I guess I've covered, when I was learning how to finger pick, I would cover Girl from the North Country, a lot of Freewheelin'. Don't Think Twice, I would play a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Lay Lady Lay, I think. You know, when I was learning how to sing and play, I would play a lot of Dylan songs. Mm-hmm.
But Thin Lear has yet to release the definitive
I've not Dylan released the so definitive Dylan cover, or any Dylan cover.
Niagara Moon does have a cover of Like a Rolling Stone. I don't know how we're going to shoehorn
That's right. That yeah, into... I've heard that. Yeah, it's quite good.
But it's fun. There is just something endlessly inviting about his catalog and ways to reinterpret different classic songs. One thought I had off the top, and I wonder if this is something you considered, maybe I'll save this for later, but when do you like parse down a Dylan song? When is it like, oh, I'm not going to do verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, like,
yeah,
you know, that kind of battle to strip down the structure and leave out some words sometimes. But
when it feels like there's a logical conclusion lyrically, and or you just know the audience is getting tired.
You can just have that sense. Yeah. Somehow something about him, he was able to go on as long as he wanted.
But I didn't give a shit. Yeah. I don't think he gave a shit about the audience getting tired. And then they didn't. So
kudos to him. But let's start getting the songs planned here. The Man in Me, I'm very happy you picked this one. This is from the album New Morning, 1970. Yeah, 1970.
Yeah,
this was his so-called comeback after the
what is this shit
self-portrait.
Yep. Yeah.
This is very chunky.
Oh yeah, sure.
There's a little he would ask. Take a woman like you to get through to the man in me.
Perfect singing voice for this kind of song.
Yeah.
No notes.
Yeah.
Storm clouds are raging all around my door. I think to myself I might not take it anymore. Take a woman like your kind to find the man in me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spectacular. So, right. So there's that perfect balance of sincerity and like sweetness and just like not, he's fully committing to it, but it's lackadaisical. And for me, Kurt Vile is an artist who has that perfect balance of sincerity and also like stars in his eyes distracted in his vocal delivery. So Kurt Vile, for the listener, if you haven't listened to him, played with War on Drugs early on, Philly scene, went out on his own, made record after record of really gorgeous guitar-centric music. He's collaborated with Courtney Barnett.
He's got very long hair.
And he's got that sweet half asleep thing that would knock this song out of the park, I think. And I'd love to hear his guitar on a track like this.
Ooh, so yeah,
I brought in a song that I think sort of demonstrates that he could live in that world and make this song his own.
I'm familiar with the War on Drugs. I like a couple of their albums quite a bit. I haven't heard a ton of his solo stuff, but just what I remember about him, I can see this vibe lining up. But
So we're going to hear Waken on a Pretty Day. This is from the album Waken on a Pretty Days. Record came out a long time ago. I don't remember exactly when.
2013, looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's check it out. Really has that War on Drugs vibe already.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think he was integral to that development of that sound.
Working, I think you could do a real nice mellow
chunky take of it.
this song in particular, it's not chunky, it's that Pauly Wurl rhythm I was talking about. It's a good one though, I like this.
But yeah, I think he could make it real drifty.
Real laid back.
Yeah, and you know, he's obviously indebted to Dylan's sound. I mean, it's not like I'm picking somebody that's not influenced by him.
Sure.
All right, what do you got?
What do I got? All right, so flipping over to my choices here. Well, who do you think I'm going to bring up out of the gate as an artist?
Paolo Conte?
No. Guy doesn't even speak English. Come on here. This isn't no Life Aquatic situation. I picked English-speaking artists. Randy Newman.
Oh, wow. Okay. He's never covered...
Maybe he Dylan? Has, but you tell me what, like, I don't know. There's no iconic selections sticking out of my mind. I mean, I'm sure maybe on a random live show he might have done something, but as far as I know, certainly in his prime, there's no Dylan covers in his catalog. Mm. I'm going to start with the Randy Newman song that I have as an example of, like, oh, this kind of style Randy was doing at this time in his career, like, take this approach with this Dylan song. I'm going to show the Randy Newman song first.
Okay.
So I'm kind of switching the order up there. But the song I wanted to show is from 1974, the album we both know and love, Good Old Boys. Mm. The song I'm picking, though, is Naked Man.
beware.
If I'm being honest, for me, this might be like a top five Randy Newman song.
I like it, but it's one of the weaker songs on that record that's sort of chock full of masterpieces.
Oh, sure. It's album chock full of masterpieces. This one is very lyrically inconsequential, but I'm a music's guy. I love the groove on this one. I love the instrumentation. It's such a bop and it's so weird. I love this song. I recognize that's kind of my own peculiar taste maybe, but and it wasn't a sound that Randy often did. I'll share some of that here, and we'll get into that zone now.
Mm. Old lady lost in the city, in the middle of a cold, cold night. It's 14 below, the wind started to blow. There wasn't a Boy Scout in sight.
I love this beat. It's great.
I feel like McCartney would love this song.
Uh-huh. It's very playful.
Running hard down the street.
And Nilsson.
Oh, for sure.
On the coldest night of the year. Beware, beware, beware of the naked man. Beware, beware, beware of the naked man. Old lady hit up to Broad Street, shuffling up town against the wind. She started to cry.
That weird ass synth organ sound in the background, whatever that is.
Yeah, it's like a... It could be like a... It sounds like Garth Hudson playing,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So that's just pretty boppy.
Yeah, no, that's great. I hearing it again with listening to it now, I like it more than I thought I did. I forgot about how great that verse is.
I don't know. It's like an acoustic guitar and then maybe a synth or flute too, going like boom, bang, ba bang, ka bang, ka bang. I love that little motif in the background. So I'll be honest, we started doing this and like I was like jamming out to that song and I forgot that it like had to specifically be Bob Dylan. And I was like, oh, what if he covered Mother and Child Reunion by Paul Simon? Oh, that'd be awesome. And then I'm like, wait, no, it has to be Dylan. Because I'm on record here as saying I do feel like Paul Simon is the greatest American songwriter, or more so the greatest American recording artist.
That's fine with me. That's a fine take.
I'm a little more team Simon than I am Dylan. Like both of those two guys I grew up listening to, I gravitated more towards Paul Simon overall. But back to Dylan, I think it would be very interesting. Randy Newman in this era, in this kind of style, if he had covered And this is funny because we're going back to the album New Morning. If Randy Newman had covered If Not For You.
Oh, If Not For You. Okay. Yeah, I could hear that.
So I'll play a little of, again, I'm going back to 1970 here, New Morning, Bob Dylan's If Not For You. I don't know why I'm not more into the George Harrison version. It just never quite cut it for me.
It's good. I think I prefer the Dylan's version on
100%.
New Morning. It's just...
The album starts with this song, and it's just so... I love how brisk it is, and it's just like crackling with energy. It just has a very specific upbeat sound that I don't always hear from him, you know, in this era or others.
Or any.
So see if you can imagine Randy Newman singing this song, doing his kind of... Maybe it'd be like more of a Toy Story orchestral shtick take on it. But I feel like this, if you were to pick a Bob Dylan song for Randy Newman, I feel like this might be the one. Mm. So bouncy.
Not for you, babe, I couldn't find the door, couldn't even see the floor, I'd be sad and blue, if not for you. If not for you, babe, I'd lay awake all night, wait for the morning light shining through, but it would not be new if not for you.
Yeah, we're picking very sweet Dylan songs so far.
So far.
If not for you, my sky would fall, rain would gather too. Without your love, I'd be nowhere at all.
I think it'd be right in Randy's wheelhouse.
If not for you,
yeah.
And you know it's true.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. I think because Randy Newman can do playful. You know, you want him to be playful, he'll do it for you. It's just on his own terms, you know? All right, so this next one I have, I'm pretty proud of this. I don't know if you've heard this song. It's a Dylan track called Baby Stop Crying. Have you heard this one?
That's not ringing a bell. What era are we talking?
It's on Street Legal. So 1978. Street Legal is not like a super well-known record of his.
That's where I start falling off with him. I like Changing of the Guard.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so this is the first record of like originals after Desire.
Right, 78.
It was a couple of years after. And it was, you know, this is definitely a drop-off from that record. I can't say I love the album Street Legal. It's just like a sort of gritty, approaching the 80s Dylan record.
His voice really started to change. I think that's what it is for me mainly, is his voice started taking on the gargoyle quality that, like,
yeah,
you know, I'm on record here. I'm not a fucking fan of 90s Dylan and on. I don't understand how people want to listen to music with somebody whose vocals sound like that, you know, regardless of what the songwriting is. But
I think it's fine. If the songwriting is good, then it's, you know, it's fine. I dig it.
I can't get past the demon voice, but
I mean, when he's doing the Christmas songs, then I'm with you. I'm with you on that. But
I don't remember the song at all, to be honest.
You might like it. You might not. I always liked when Dylan veered towards like trying out this poppy, soulful style, because his voice does allow for that. And he always has great chord changes. That's what's necessary, I think, in a soul song beyond, like, obviously stellar vocals. I want to show you this song because it's not like you've heard it. And then I want to show you a singer that I think would absolutely crush this tune and probably make it sound better and make it into a hit.
Mm. Very curious to see what you picked there. But yeah, let's revisit this original here first.
I like this song. I'll stand behind this song. It's just a fun, soulful pop tune. In anyone else's hands, I think someone with more pop sensibilities, I think, could have taken it to the charts.
Mm. Baby, Stop Crying. I do remember some good saxophone on this album. Maybe it is due a revisit on my part. And then even when we had Chris Ingles come in here defending the Christian rock era Dylan. I was getting into some of those songs.
Yeah,
too.
Those songs are good that he picked. He brought in. Yeah.
We were talking about doing covers of other artists. Maybe I should do like a cover of my idea of modern Dylan, just so everybody else can understand what I hear when you're trying to play me fucking Love and Theft or whatever. Like,
yeah, sure. I did not choose any Love and Theft songs today.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. Baby Stop Crying from Street Legal, 1978. Let's check it out. Ooh, this one's chunky too.
You've been down to the bottom with a bad man, babe. But you're back where you belong. Go get me my pistol, babe. Honey, I ain't tell right from wrong. Please stop crying.
Stop crying.
Stop crying.
Stop crying.
Baby, please stop crying.
Stop crying.
Stop crying.
Stop crying.
Baby, please stop crying.
Got a real E Street Band Springsteen flavor. I don't know if that's who you picked.
No, that's funny as hell. I can't pick Springsteen. I mean, how many songs has he covered of Dylan? I can't. That's just like
it's too easy.
Yeah, I mean, what am I doing?
But yeah, that would fall real nicely into Springsteen's hands, I think.
I was thinking, what about Philly Soul? So I brought in, here we have R&B singer Teddy Pendergrass, RIP, one of the best to ever do it. I mean, one of the best Philly soul singers ever that you're going to hear. And I think this is one of the best Philly soul songs in general. I feel like he could turn it into like a Quiet Storm kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like make it real romantic and simmering.
Smooth it out.
Exactly. And I feel like the song is asking for that. You know, it's rough around the edges because that is Dylan. But I don't know if this song is necessarily meant to live like that. So I brought in a song. It's actually one of my favorite soul songs ever. Love TKO. I'm not like alone in saying that. This song is fucking brilliant.
I only know this song. This is embarrassing. I know this song because Yamashita Tatsuro covers it on one of his a cappella albums.
Oh, man. I do not want to hear that. See that? We talk about ruining songs. I'm comfortable not knowing what that sounds like.
I was saving it for a future episode, so.
Actually, I am a little curious to hear what it sounds like.
Yeah, but, you are, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know how he deals with that, how he wrangles it.
Even from that, I got the sense it's a very cool song. I'm excited to check out the original for the first time.
These chord changes are just killer. So you'll hear his voice. Like I think he could take that song, Baby Stop Crying, and turn it into a smash hit.
Let's check it out. Yeah, this is better than the Tots version.
Things ain't right. I'm losing again. That's just so good.
Take
yeah.
A fool and lose twice. Start all over again. Think I better let it go. Let it go, baby.
Looks like another love TKO. Oh. Yeah, I mean, I want to hear him do that tune.
Stop crying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's right there.
It's right there. I like this.
I love this part. I love this turnaround right here.
Try to take control of the love.
Damn.
Just to control of me.
Incredible.
Yeah, this is a no-brainer.
Sense of time. Have a change of mind. Taking the bumps and the bruises of all the things.
Yeah, I could just listen to that entire song. It's
for sure.
It's that good. We need to do an episode on that man. Very, very obviously incredible talent. Very sad life story, but kind of like he's not unheralded. Certainly, like he's pretty famous.
A lot of people don't know him, though. Even right. Our generation onward, like, and I'm not familiar with a ton of his stuff, even though I've always heard good things. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, back to you.
Back to me. Well, all right. We've been going tender, sweet so far. Let's get into weird Dylan, right?
Okay.
Let's get into a little. So you brought up Highway 61 Revisited earlier. Mm. Insane that that album came out in 1965. That's a real head scratcher.
Crazy.
It's
pretty modern.
Like when you try to understand the hype around that guy, you got to take that into account. He was fucking breaking down doors culturally.
If you put out Queen Jane Approximately today, you do fine. You do all right.
So the song I picked of Dylan's, I'm going to show the Dylan pick first here now.
Mm-hmm.
I have enjoyed the song On the Treadmill. You're again going to be like, what the fuck? Tombstone Blues.
All right. I wouldn't work out to it, but I understand the impulse.
The cardio, it's pretty fuck. Those drums are smashing.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty up-tempo. It's pretty intense. Tombstone Blues. This is a different side of Dylan. This is getting into, meme Timothy Chalamet Dylan. This is
who knows what that's going to do. Who knows how people are going to start feeling about Dylan after that.
I'm sure it's going to do fucking just fine. No, this is like myth building Dylan.
Okay.
This stuff here. Is it my favorite tune of his or even from this album? Not necessarily, but it's unrelenting. It's notable. You get lulled in by Like a Rolling Stone, which is a top five classic, blow your mind. And there's something kind of bittersweet about it. And then you're just, Tombstone Blues. Things get harsh real quick.
The sweet, pretty things on bed now, of course. The city fathers they're trying to endorse. The reincarnation of Paul Revere's horse. But the town has no need to be nervous.
Nervous.
The ghost of Bell Star, she hands down her wits. To Jezebel and Nun, she violently knits. A bald wig for Jack the Ripper, who sits at the head of the Chamber of Commerce.
Commerce.
Mama's in a factory, she ain't got no shoes. Daddy's in the alley, he's looking for food. I'm in the kitchen with the Tombstone Blues. The hysterical bride in the penny arcade. Screaming, she moans, I've just been made.
Hey, we're getting in the stream of consciousness, Dylan.
Yeah, he's there.
Down the shade and says, my advice is to not let the boys in. Now the medicine man comes and he shuffles inside. He walks with a swagger and he says to the bride, stop all this weeping, swallow your pride. You will not die, it's not poison. Mama's in a factory, she ain't got no shoes. Daddy's in the alley, he's looking for food. I'm in the kitchen with the Tombstone Blues.
It's quite a chorus.
Oh, yeah.
So here's the deal. I recently saw the film Civil War.
Mm.
Really loved it. I ended up seeing it twice. I saw it again with a buddy of mine.
Wow.
Yeah, big fan of that movie.
Marvel, right? This is Iron Man versus Captain America.
You know, you're the first person to make that joke. This is...
Who won?
Well, you'll have to see the movie to find out. Short answer is nobody. But a big part of the reason I love that movie is the soundtrack is off the chain. some great tunes in there. There's not one, but two songs by Suicide.
Wow.
That appear in the Civil War movie. I know you brought them up a while ago. I was kind of tentative with them then. You showed Frankie Teardrop.
Was that the first time you ever heard them?
It was. I had never checked them out.
Well, I'm proud of that. I'm proud of showing you Suicide.
Yeah, you introduced me to them initially, and then I got Suicide-pilled. Sounds a little weird saying that, but I got their vibe through seeing the movie. One of the songs that plays early on, so I don't feel like it's too much of a spoiler, Rocket USA.
Sure.
From Suicide's debut album.
Classic album.
Classic.
Great record.
Real cult classic. 1977, the album Suicide. Imagine Suicide doing Tombstone Blues.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it would just be like the sort of meandering, scary vibe.
Scary, punishing, unrelenting. They could double down on that unrelenting.
Get those drum machines cooking.
Yeah, exactly. And the only thing is, like, are there too many lyrics for them to be able to fit in? I feel like they'd be able to figure it out.
They like the negative space.
Yeah.
Those boys like their negative space.
But I feel like they could have figured it out. But let's listen to a little Rocket USA. You tell me if this checks out here.
Shoot on down, I'm all in here. TV star right around. Right around like it was gone.
Yeah, definitely too many lyrics, I think. But
they'd have to take away the echo thing.
I think
they'd
have to take away half of each verse, I think. Every other word.
Could they do the song justice overall, though? Could they keep the...
Yeah, they would nail the vibe of the song.
Yeah.
I will say, if you're going to listen to this whole record, you have to really, I think, be by yourself.
And ideally, like, it shouldn't be nice and sunny out.
You should not, you need to not be in a great place in your life to listen to the whole record.
So that was my second pick. Suicide doing Tombstone Blues.
Okay, so I'm going to go to a place, a Dylan place, that you were not a fan of now. Time out of mind.
Nah.
But I'm proud of this next pick, because I feel like if the artist covered this song, I feel like you would get this tune. So this song is called Not Dark Yet from Time Out of Mind.
Mm-hmm.
It has that swampy vibe to it that we've discussed, because we've talked about that record. I don't think we talked about this song. I love this song, and I loved the Dylan version of it.
You love his voice on this song.
I know. I love the song. Say I love his voice on the song. I guess I love it. I mean, I love the whole...
You like his version of it.
I do.
You like the way he delivers it.
I do, yeah.
That will always be a mystery to me, but I'm open to, like, I guess I should be softer on, if you're talking covers and Dylan, yes, cover the later period stuff so I don't have to hear his voice on it.
This is where you want, you don't need Suicide to cover Tombstone Blues for you to like it.
Yeah.
You need, I don't know, Taylor Swift to do it or whatever.
I don't need Adele for Make You Feel My Love. That goes into sappy territory, but.
No, I mean, it's sort of, we're not talking about who can make more polished versions of Dylan songs. I think we're saying who could take it and get at the heart of it, or take it in another direction where there's just like an element of something and they blow it up.
Show you another side of it. Yeah. Make it feel like an original all over again.
Yes. So that's what I think this pick is doing. So let's listen to a snippet of Not Dark Yet, but then I want to listen to this other artist.
All right, Not Dark Yet, Time Out of Mind, 1997. It's like revisiting an old friend.
That you don't like. An old nasal friend.
got Grover.
It's Cookie Monster.
Cookie Monster.
Shadows are falling.
Oh, he is the Cookie Monster, yes. And I've been here all day. Longo is shaking a Cookie Monster puppet back and forth in front of him on this Zoom call right now.
You can't prove that.
Time is running away.
Just a nice big Cookie Monster stuffed animal.
Feel like my soul has turned into steam. I've still got the scars at the sun and near. There's not even room enough to be anywhere. It's not dark yet, but it's getting there. It's getting there.
This one's right. Pretty plotting, I will say.
Okay, all right. So
you're a big fan, though.
I love this song.
All right.
I love it. Let's do, because there's a lot of pathos in it, right? And I feel like maybe that pathos is undercut by the vocal delivery that you don't like. That whole that thing where he just like, you know, goes real fast, then he slows it up. And right. Yeah. Yes. So Anony is a British singer and songwriter with a voice that is simply arresting. You know, first time I heard this artist, it was like first time I heard Karen Dalton or Scott Walker or something like that, where you're just like, where is this coming from? Otherworldly. Anony has a bunch of great records, in particular, I Am a Bird Now, which sounds like a lost 60s folk record. Sounds like it could have been contemporary with Nico's albums or something like that. But she also has this modern contemporary edge to her arrangements. It's like smoky chanteuse mixed with like solo John Cale or something. Like, it's just a weird...
I've heard a little bit of her. She was formerly Anthony and the Johnsons.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think Anony does like devastated but resolved better than anyone, really. Like that mixture of emotion. Mm. It's that counterbalance of devastated and resolved. And I think that sits at the heart of the song. And I brought in a pick from I Am a Bird Now, You Are My Sister, which is just a devastating song. Really beautiful delivery of it here. This is a live version of it. But I think just picture her voice over Not Dark Yet. And I think that it would make the tune a whole lot more real for you.
Mm. I think I know them from, they like vocally trade off with Björk on some track from Volta. Mm. They have a really distinct voice. I really can't think of anybody else like them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like a Scott Walker thing where you're just like, whoa. Right.
I'm intrigued now that this could redeem the song for me.
The song? Yeah, maybe it'd pick it up from the depths.
All right, so live on Letterman, of all places. Okay, You Are My Sister, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Sister, we were born so innocent, so full of need. There were times we were friends, but times I was so cruel. Each night I'd ask for you to watch me as I sleep. I was so afraid of the night. You seem to move through the places that I feared. You lived inside my world so softly, protected only by the kindness of your nature. You are my sister, and I love you. May you. Oh, I love your dreams come true. You are my sister.
Like the slow dirge quality would work better for this artist, yeah.
But still there's a little more buoyancy there, I think, in the voice that would maybe lift the tune up for you.
Dreams. come true.
Good pick.
Felt so differently then. For anyone who likes the sound of that, definitely listen to I Am a Bird Now.
Well, my final pick, I'm going to now talk about a pretty important Dylan tune. I would say a load-bearing Dylan tune.
Uh-oh.
I can sometimes get Dylan fatigue. You know, it's like
a
million different biopics, documentaries, See His Face on People magazine, interviews.
It's been a long time since I listened to the guy. I'll say it, probably the last time I listened to him was when the last time we talked about him.
Sure. It's like, it's great. It's important music. It's great that it stood the test of time. It stood the test of time a little bit too well sometimes, I think. It's like, why are we still, just as a culture, like living in the fucking shadow of this guy, like 60, almost 70 years on? Like, we haven't had anything else to show for ourselves. I don't know. Like, all right, new movie with Chalamet. Why not? Like, just keep milking that cash cow. But I'm not always that cynical. You sit me down with the right Dylan tune or the right album for a while, I can buy in. Even though I'm team Paul Simon, I can get to a place where I'm like, yes, this guy is a genius. All the adulation, all the admiration, totally earned. I don't always rest there. That's not my natural place, but I can get there. Mm-hmm. And a tune that can certainly help me with that. Visions of Johanna.
Sure.
We're getting into Blonde on Blonde now. That's a pretty big one.
Yeah, the ghosts of electricity howl in the bones of her face. I mean,
there you go.
The fuck are you going to do with that? Lyrically, like, how are you going to top that?
Jewels and binoculars hang from the head of the mule. Yeah, it's a big one. Blonde on Blonde, a lot of great tracks on there. Some tracks that I'm like, shut the fuck up, guy. Like Leopard Skin Pillbox Hat.
I love that song.
I have no use for that song. That always pisses me off.
Love that tune.
But Visions of Johanna, I'm always going to be pretty pumped on that one. And let's listen a little bit of that, get in that zone.
Ain't it just like the night to play tricks when you're trying to be so quiet? We'll sit here stranded, though we're all doing our best to deny it. And Louise holds a handful of rain, tempting you to defy it.
Do you know what this song's about?
Nope. It's like,
sounds like it's about something.
In this room, the heat pipes just cough. The country music station plays soft, but there's nothing, really nothing to turn off. Just Louise and her lover, so entwined. Of Johanna that conquer my mind.
I love how just that song, it sounds like it's maybe the third time they've all played it together.
Yeah, the bassist fucks up later on. It's very loose, but it's perfect. It's all you need.
In the empty lot where the ladies play, blind man's bluff with the keychain.
All right. So yeah, what are you going to say about that one?
Pretty unimpeachable.
Ineffable classic there. I'm sure plenty of artists have covered it. I'm not familiar with any off the top of my head. You know what would have been an interesting mashup, I feel? Pink Floyd.
Oh, interesting. What era of Pink Floyd? Are we talking about like Saucer Full of Secrets Pink Floyd? Corporal Clegg?
I'm thinking metal era Pink Floyd.
Okay, that's sort of, yeah, okay. That's around what I was thinking.
I'm thinking 71. You do run into this question again. Do they do all the lyrics? How do you deliver, you know, a really lyrically dense tune? You know, Pink Floyd, you know, they kind of take their time. I think their, like, sense of space and their slower approach to a groove, like, could definitely work for this song and be, like, a totally interesting new way to hear it. Would it end up being, like, 15 minutes long then? Maybe, but also that's, like, their bread and butter. So I feel like, you know, they might have, you know, Pink Floyd... they know how to sustain your interest over 15, 20 minutes if they want to. Mm-hmm. So that was my little theory there. And particularly this song from metal, Fearless, I thought maybe this could be a good...
Sure, yeah. That's a great song.
...example of a sonic palette. So try to imagine, if you can, this era of Pink Floyd doing Visions of Johanna. We'll play a little bit of the song Fearless. This is fucking great, this song.
Yeah.
And you're going to have Dave Gilmore sing. No Roger Waters vocals needed.
Okay.
Laughing over there.
You say the hill's too steep to climb. Just wait a while for the right day.
And as I would it get too meandery though, or you think they could pull it off?
I mean, this song is a little bit meandery anyway, so I feel like it's a good pairing. Especially with Gilmore singing, because he can pull off the meandering thing, because it's so mellifluous that you just want to listen anyway.
So I seem to be 3 for 3. You liked all my ideas? I liked all yours.
Yeah, my favorite is probably the last one.
Sweet.
That's fantastic. All right, here's my last pick. This is a very puzzling Dylan song from a record that we were talking about, I think, before we started even recording, Desire.
Mm, great one.
Overall, one of my favorite records of his, probably the one that I return to the most, maybe, because it's just like has this dark, cool, shadowy vibe, and it's vibrant, and there's that violin, and he's just like, he's just in a different place. It's kind of, it's almost like akin to Bring It All Back Home or something, where it's just like, you know, you hear him discovering a completely new vibe and he's having so much fun with it.
Yeah, there's some great songs on this one.
But this song, Isis,
yeah,
always felt really special to me. I just don't, you know, so many songs you don't know what the hell it's about. This one in particular, and I think it's the whole song is mysterious to me. The way that he delivers it, it's almost like he's shrouding what the emotion of the song is, but it's just as engaging as if he were being open.
Yeah, this one's particularly cinematic.
Yeah.
I was tempted to bring in something from this era. Overall, I mean, my favorite album of his is Blood on the Tracks. I know that album's not getting any representation today. Maybe that's just because it's so good as is, I don't even want to start imagining covers of it. But
it's tough to do those songs. I don't know who would.
Yeah, Isis, this is a cool, sprawling one. You got that violin.
He also crushes this himself in the Rolling Thunder review era.
I have heard that version.
There's a live version of it that's just like so different. It's like Mick Ronson
screams
on
his
it.
Balls
he screams
off.
His balls off like he does on that whole tour.
It's a song about marriage. It's called Isis. And then the tempo's like twice as fast. I do quite like that version. Yeah.
Yeah, I love the face paint screaming Dylan.
All right. But the studio version, more subdued vibe. Here we go. 1976 from the album Desire, Isis.
I married Isis on the 5th day of May, but I could not hold on to her.
So I cut off my hair and I rode straight away over the wild unknown country where I could not go wrong. I came to a high place of darkness and light. The fighting line ran through the center of town. I hitched up my pony to a post on the right. Went into a laundry to wash my clothes down. A man in the corner approached me for a match. I knew right away he was not ordinary. He said, "Are you looking for something easy to catch?" Said, "I got no money." He said, "That ain't necessary."
You know who does shadowy and vibrant really well? Kate LeBon, who is a Welsh songwriter and producer, similar to Aldous Harding, who is just like fully doing her own thing, regardless of what's happening in mainstream indie. She has, I think, the right amount of mystery in her voice and arrangements to tackle this very puzzling but engaging song. I think she would hide the meaning of the words in her tone, but still make you feel something with every line. And I think she'd put some sweet distorted guitar where the violin is. It's just my hunch. I think she would crush it. Have you heard of Kate LeBon?
Never. So she's contemporary?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Cool. She produces for other artists that you probably have heard of. And she makes her own records and has a sound that's shrouded in mystery. And I think, yeah, it's like a beautifully puzzling kind of delivery that she has.
This is a stupid thing to say, but the song Isis like already sounds Welsh somehow. Like it, I could easily see like a Celtic old British Isles vibe.
Yes, an old British Isles. Yeah.
Fit the song pretty easy. Yeah. And so the song in particular from her that you've chosen, looks like it's called Are You With Me Now?
I love this song.
Kate LeBon.
I love this song.
From the album Mug Museum from 2013. All right.
But you'll hear in her voice, this just like, her singing is very beautiful, but it's also like she doesn't betray a whole lot.
Totally see it. Yeah. Wow, you're 4 for 4.
That's a great song. Yeah, you know, artists that we've played today, ones who are still living, maybe give these a shot, you know, give these songs a shot, see if we're right. We can come back to it in part two.
Well, now I got to hear Thin Lear cover a Dylan song.
I married Isis. Yeah, the ones that I do are like very basic Dylan because they're the ones I learned when I was learning guitar. Seemed like the smart and finger picking. It seemed like the smart way to go.
Wow, this was a fun little exercise, something a little different from the norm. What did we learn? I mean, I think we learned there's all these exciting new possibilities with Dylan covers. Maybe we already knew those were there.
But. I think we knew they were there. I think you answered your own question before when you're like, why is this guy still in the public consciousness? Sure, it's because his songs are, at the same time, as good as they are, they're still a blank canvas for other people to insert themselves in a way that's like not true for, you know, like Beatles songs even. Like, how hard is it to cover a fucking Beatles song?
There's so goddamn many of them, too. He really just turned out so many classics. Can't deny it.
Yeah.
All that said, what do we want to plug? Anything we got going on?
You go first.
Well,
I need to figure out what day it is.
Yeah, I mean, my new album, Niagara Moon, Rebuild the Circus, that just came out May 10th. So that's streaming everywhere.
Yeah.
Got a bunch of music videos out, too. Check it out.
And I will say, keep listening to Bowie's Ley Lines. Thank you for listening to that song. It's doing good. And we have the third and final single from the EP is coming out on June 3rd. And the EP is coming out on June 7th.
Hell yeah.
So you will have the full Space Bomb produced EP, Beach of Nightly Glory, on June 7th. And we just had an EP showcase announced for July 11th at Berlin, Lower East Side. Come on out. We're here for you. Come hear these songs. And, you know, like, as I think happened maybe the last time I played, someone came up to me about the podcast. So would be happy to talk about this show for most of the performance, if you'd like.
Hey, and I'm all ears if other people have hypothetical Dylan covers. You know, there's so
Let's
many endless combinations you can make. So I'm all for folks participating in that. While we're at it, Niagara Moon also has a show June 1st, Saturday night, at Luthier's Co-op in East Hampton, Mass. As well. And hey, listener, if you like this episode, you want to make sure you always catch future episodes. You can subscribe to Losing My Opinion on your platform of choice. You can follow Losing My Opinion on Instagram, TikTok, still, I guess. And
X. Number one social media.
The number one social media.
In Russia.
The one that everybody loves.
And Randy Newman. I want him to do a Tender Dylan song. Maybe If Not For You. I think that would sound grand coming out of his voice.
If Not For You.
Not For You.
And I could be wrong now.
But I don't think so.
Yeah, he'd do it. He'd do a nice job. He'd do a fine job.
Fine job.
And I'll say, listen to all the artists that we recommended today. Beyond Bob Dylan. So long, suckers. We'll see you next week.
Come on without me.